Hi, everybody, and welcome to this year's first episode of This Anthropological Life. As always, I'm Anil Tripathi.
And I'm Ryan Collins.
And today we're joined by new Master's in Anthropology student, Alana Cohen.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us, Alana.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
And so for today, I think This Anthropological Life is very much a project focused on trying to get anthropology out there, reflecting on what it is and how can we use it in different types of conversations, right?
Exactly. And anthropology as a discipline, like any discipline, is always changing. It's always growing. So what it is to be anthropology often needs to be revisited as well. And today we wanted to sort of talk about experiencing anthropology and what that means as of now, what that means looking forward into the next year, and how more disciplines out of anthropology could possibly develop.
I create new ideas. I mean, there's always been this idea of applied anthropology, right? And this year at Brandeis, we have an applied anthropology class on the syllabus, right? So the idea is, you know, how can you use anthropology outside of academia, outside of its existence as kind of, you know, just an academic pursuit? And, you know, anthropology, I think ultimately it's always about kind of getting outside of academia as well, right? I mean, we do field work, right, which is based on getting out of. You can't just be a university professor and stay in a university, right? You have to go outside yourself.
Exactly. Reflecting upon what it means to be anthropology is to think about these old definitions of it. And anthropology used to be this four-field discipline composed of sociocultural work, linguistics, bioarchaeology or evolutionary anthropology, as well as archaeology as a separate field. However, applied sort of came into being in the 80s and 90s as this way to bring anthropology to the public, as a way to take the lessons that people learn about culture and society and bring them into your everyday experiences and try to do something more humanistic. But applied really was tasked with something that it maybe couldn't do, a sort of comprehensive cover everything type of goal that if you apply anthropology in any broad spectrum, you can help alter culture and alter society for the better. But it's really broad, and it never really quite caught on.
Mm. Yeah, it almost gets, you know, it's too unspecific. It has these lofty aspirations, right? But then you kind of run to roadblocks and to really thinking, what is the idea of applied anthropology and how can you actually do it? So I guess, so as a new master's student, Alana, what do you think?
Well, what's running through my mind is how this concept of applied anthropology almost invites us or also threatens us to take down some of the disciplinary boundaries, especially in an academic institution, but also out in the real world. So you want to apply some of the concepts of anthropology, the foundations of anthropology, or the findings of anthropology in non-anthropological, I'm using quotation marks, settings to gain insight or to find something, but then you're kind of messing up those boundaries that we like to have as people, as students, as professionals, where we have very clear understandings of what everything is. But that's also exciting and invites new exploration, but it can be challenging.
Yeah, it seems to get a bit messier, right? So, you know, for instance, I was at this summer at a design anthropology conference in Copenhagen where and design anthropology, you know, going off of what you were saying, Ryan, it's a real attempt to think about applied anthropology, but thinking about it in a very specific context, an interdisciplinary context, right? Going back to what you mentioned as well, Alana. So this idea that fields of design, which are very much about creating interventions in the world, right? Thinking about how can we change this type of an object? How can we change this building? How can we change, this kind of corporate structure? And combining that with anthropology, which is very, kind of, sometimes anthropology can get too much into its own thoughts, right, about what's going on. So the idea with design anthropology is that it would make a more practical-minded anthropology, right, get the reflexiveness that anthropology brings, but combine that with an interventionist approach, with an idea that you actually have to, you're doing things kind of concretely. Mm-hmm. And for some anthropologists, I think this can be very problematic, right? The idea that, in some ways, anthropology is a very descriptive discipline in terms of it's about trying to really understand what is out there, you know, as it is, and not be interventionist, not be doing things. But design anthropology, I think, tries to mix that up a bit and think about So we have all these ideas within anthropology from looking at the world. How could these ideas actually change the world or change the ways, you know, we have our societies?
Right. And to sort of tag along off of that, if I'm understanding correctly, it seems that, you know, anthropology in the past has sort of been this solitary thing where a researcher goes off and conducts field work for maybe 1 year or 2 years or several field seasons, several summers, and then comes back, writes their solitary dissertation or their novel or their ethnography, and then presents this data to either the public or most of the time just internally in the academic sphere. But if design anthropology's goals are to really be more efficient and to be more engaging, then it has to be something that's, well, more cooperative, that's going to be engaged in larger types of networking groups, working with technologies that not only make the process of research, you know, easier to conduct, but also make the ideas and understandings of anthropology more accessible to a wider audience and not just restricted to a very, you know, isolated academic context.
No, definitely. I mean, that's, and in some ways, right, it makes the anthropologist really accept the participation part more, maybe the participant observation approach, right? Which, of course, the anthropologist's idea is that you go into a setting that you want to learn more about. Let's say I want to learn about the coffee shop down the street from me. I walk into that coffee shop and I hang out for days on end or until I get kicked out. And maybe, you know, I become an employee of this coffee shop, or I try to do something that connects me to the place, right? I mean, because anthropologists, we also have to figure out reasons why people won't kick us out so that we can stick around and really learn about it, right? So design anthropology then makes that participation level almost go to another kind of extreme, right, where then you're actively involved in these processes. So you could, you know, at the coffee shop, maybe I'll introduce a new type of coffee. I'll bring in another espresso machine because I don't like their espresso machine. And it gets a little dangerous, right? Because you make these value judgments. Because, you know, when you take the fact seriously that you're having, that you might have this effect or you want to change things, then you have to accept that you might make a lot of mistakes as well. You might not see the whole picture. And I think that's where a lot of the tension's always been, right? Between people who've been trying to work with the more applied anthropology versus anthropologists in academia, who, you know, are doing a type of applied anthropology, right? They're using their own research to get a tenure track job and get paid to teach. So they're applying their research to get a academic career. But then it's seen as, you know, in academia, we always have this idea of objectivity, right?
Right. Well, in theory. So let's play devil's advocate for a second and think about what some of these goals might actually entail, right? And the way we're talking about design anthropology is very much the way we're talking about applied anthropology and very much the way we talk about public anthropology, looking for these wider outlets into different broader spheres of interaction. But we could also think of this as possibly being another step forward with anthropology after 150-odd years of, you could call it progress, or you could call it just education and reflexivity. Right, the anthropology in some ways is about preserving some notion of culture in a very time-stamped period, right? We're going out and we're studying either a current group of people, trying to understand how they interact with and engage the world, which is very much centered on the world as it is today. And ethnography ends up being these sort of screenshots of the world as it was at different points of time. So if we look at something from Franz Boas, we're going to get a snapshot of the 19-teens and 20s. We're not going to understand what a specific group is actually doing today unless we go out and look at them again and see how they're interacting with the modern world.
And of course, these kind of past ethnographic studies and anthropological research was already highly interventionist, right? But in a way that wasn't acknowledged because it was part of colonial interventions of trying to control societies, right? You have the famous anthropologist Evans Pritchard, who does a study of the Nuer and different groups in South Sudan without ever mentioning the fact that the British are bombing some of these tribes while he's in the field doing research. Or, you know, he doesn't mention all of these things that are going on. He tries to show this kind of cookie-cutter view of this society as kind of a snapshot whole, right?
Exactly. And sometimes Well, often, not just sometimes, but technology changes the way in which we attempt to preserve the culture. Photography would be one of the earliest mediums that any anthropologist would have used in order to sort of capture that moment or capture the essence of what it is they're looking for. Archaeology was first, you know, championed by drawings and then by lithograms and then by, you know, photography. And then people would throw dynamite at whatever building they were trying to excavate and then run inside and grab goodies, photograph them.
Probably had some effects.
Exactly.